Bibles again to the book of Acts tonight, and I want to revisit with you a portion of scripture we looked at for just a minute this morning. As we consider our missions conference and really this series of messages we've been going through on Sunday mornings is really what God put in my heart leading up to that, is because we want to see missions, we want to see churches, we want to see disciples multiplied. Not just here locally, but we want to see disciples multiplied globally. And God is designed to do that through His churches. And churches are a group of disciples who have gathered together, following Jesus together, and committed together in that effort. And we want to see not only disciples multiplied, but we want to see churches multiplied. And so as we consider moving into the missions conference, we're going to look at more of that. But I want you to consider with me the prayer of a church that is moving towards multiplication. As you walk through the book of Acts, we see the Lord added to the church at Pentecost. The Lord added to the church a little time after that. The Lord added of multitudes in chapter 4. By the time you get in chapter 5, by the time you get to chapter 6, you see the number of the disciples being multiplied. So the church is moving that direction, from addition to multiplication, and we want to understand, how is it that we ought to be praying? I've been asking you to fast. I've been asking you to pray. And so I want us to look together at how the early church at Jerusalem, how did they pray? They were facing a lot of persecution, but when persecution came, they didn't complain. They rejoiced. And when persecution came, they didn't quit. They kept on. They didn't stop preaching. They doubled down on the preaching. And so how did they respond to difficult circumstances, and how is it that they prayed? So Acts chapter 4, verse 18 is where I'd like to ask you to pick up tonight. Acts 4, 18, if you're able, let's stand together. And I recognize this truth tonight. How many of you would confess tonight that you're very tired in the flesh tonight? Can I just, if it's not too much effort, would you raise your hand to say that you're tired? All right. A lot of us are tired. A few of the guys went to church camp for a couple of days. I'm amazed at how just one or two nights at camp can make you church camp tired. You don't even have to go the whole week. And I know a lot of you had a hard week, and I know weekends, a lot of things that have kind of slid by during the week. You got to make up for those on Saturday and maybe Sunday afternoon. But listen, I know you're tired. No, there's a lot of distractions in your life and things going on, but I just want to ask you to please fight the flesh tonight, bring it into subjection, and give attention to the Word of God for just a few minutes, okay? So fight through the flesh with me tonight, and we're in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, for the privilege of being able to gather, to sing your praises and to worship you. And Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight, Lord. Our flesh is certainly weak, but I know the spirit that you've given us is willing. And I pray that with a willing spirit, we would bring our flesh into subjection tonight to hear from you, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, help us to fast and to pray and to seek your face this week. And Lord, I pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us, that you would hear our prayers and our supplications. Lord, that your Spirit would be poured out in this place, that you would forgive our sin, that you would heal us, and heal our church, and heal this land. God, that you would stir up a right spirit within us. And Lord, that we would, by your strength and by your spirit, do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, to use the opportunities and the influence that you've given us to reach others with the gospel and to disciple people to Jesus, Lord. And please help us, for we are nothing without you. Lord, help us to become a disciple-making church, that the number of the disciples would be multiplied not only here, but in all the places around us and even around the world. Lord, we know that you alone are able. We cannot do it on our own. But by your grace and by your Spirit, we pray you would do great things. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So Peter and John have been arrested and let go and arrested and beaten. All these things have been going on with them. But when they had threatened them again and said, don't speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And I just want to remind you that, but as a Christian, as somebody who has experienced the grace of God, if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, it should be that you can't but speak the things that God has shown you. That you have seen him and that you know him, and that when you get up in the morning and you spend time in the Word of God, that it just comes out of your mouth because you have experienced the goodness of God and you're rejoicing in your heart, and it just ought to be a natural thing that we talk about God. And I know that we have fear. We have the fear of men, but we shouldn't fear man. We should fear God. And I know that it's easier for us to talk about other things than it is about the gospel sometimes. And I know sometimes people don't want to hear, and I understand that. I'm not saying you got to force it down somebody's throat, but I'm just saying that the things you're excited about, the things that are inside of you, they just naturally come out. And it ought to be that we have that attitude that says, I cannot but speak the things which I've seen and heard about Jesus. What I know of him, I have to tell others. And that was the attitude that they had, and they went away rejoicing when they were let go. They went to their own company, and they reported in verse 23 all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they went back to the church that was gathered together, and they said, everybody listen, we're going to tell you what's going on. And so we would say they gave a report, is what we would say, but I don't think it was all that formal. I think it's just everybody was gathered together, and they got up and said, this is what happened. I'm sure they wanted to know. They went to the temple to pray, and all these things have transpired, and the church is anxious to know what's going on. And when they tell them everything that went on, when they tell them about the man who was healed, when they tell them about how all the people listened to the word of God, they're telling them about how people are believing the gospel and telling them about how the chief priests and elders are against them and how they got to suffer for the name of Jesus. I want you to see how the church responded in verse 24. In verse 24, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When they came back and gave the report, the church responded in praise and prayer to God. Now notice that they lifted up their voice. I don't think that they were ashamed to pray to God. I don't think they were ashamed to lift up their voice to God. And by the way, the fact that they lifted up their voice, this almost crosses from the idea of a prayer to a song. But they're praying to God, they're praising God, they're crying out to God, they're lifting up their voice to God. Now, there are a lot of people who are thankful. We're coming up, not long, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. And some of us, we go ahead and start celebrating Christmas now. And we celebrate Christmas through Halloween, and we celebrate Christmas through Thanksgiving, and we celebrate Christmas through Christmas and through New Year's, and usually all the way up to Valentine's. Amen. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, we love Christmas. But we don't want to miss Thanksgiving. Amen. And a lot of people next month, as they begin November, a lot of my friends on social media, every day they'll put something that they're thankful for, and they'll go through that every day of the month of Thanksgiving. That's a good thing. It ought not just be in November, and ought not just be in Thanksgiving, but it ought to be all the time. But it's good to be reminded of what we're thankful for. But I wonder who everybody's thankful to. Because if you're not thankful to God, then who are you thankful to? Just like the universe? The universe can't do anything for you. Darwinian evolution, that can't do anything for you. I mean, I just wonder sometimes people who don't believe in God, who exactly are they thankful to? They thankful to the fates, to happy chance? I don't know. But I want to tell you today that if you're thankful, you ought to be thankful unto God. If you pray, you pray unto God. If you give thanks, you give thanks unto God. And when they lifted up their voice, they lifted up their voice to God. And I just want to remind you that when you pray, you're talking to the God who created everything. Amen. And we don't come to God with vain repetitions. Can you imagine how annoyed He is with that? Amen. Have your children ever come to you, talking to you, maybe telling you a story or asking for something, but they're not really even paying attention to what they're saying? Have you ever done that? I mean, you're just kind of talking and words are falling out of your mouth and you're not even thinking about what you're saying. I wonder how many times we pray and it's just vain repetition. It's just the same things that we say all the time. We're not even consciously thinking about what we're saying to God. And when we pray, we're praying to the God who created everything. And when we approach Him, we can come as to our Heavenly Father, but we need to come with seriousness. We need to come with humility. We need to come with hearts of gratitude and wonder and awe. And they say, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they say, listen, we got to go up to the temple and we got to see a man healed by the power and in the name of Jesus. And we got to preach Jesus to the multitude of people who gathered around. And then the chief priests and the elders came and they persecuted us. And we got to suffer for Jesus, and they're rejoicing and they're giving thanks. And when they come back, they say, God, who allowed us to preach Jesus, and God, who allowed us to suffer, and God, who allowed us to see people believe, is the same God who created everything that exists in the universe. When they were so excited and so joyful at what God had done. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said. Did you get that? God, who created everything, also by the mouth of David said. Who said it? Not David, God. You know, it's one of the things I try to be careful of, because we want to understand when we study our Bible, the who, what, when, where, why, how, all those things, right? It's good to study your Bible. You ought to know who's speaking and who they're speaking to and when they're speaking and what they're speaking about and all of those things. And how does all of that apply to us today? It's really good to know that. And we say that a lot of times. We say, well, Luke writes here in Acts, or we say Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we say those things, but we need to remember that Paul is not the author of the Bible. David is not the author of Psalm 2 that this points back to. God is the author. And God said through the mouth of David. This is, friends, when you read your Bible, it's not man's word, it's God's word. And as they're praising God and they're rejoicing in the creative power of God and the wonder of God and the awe of God, they're also reminded of the fact that they have the Word of God. And when they look back to Scriptures and we look back to the Psalms, they get to say, God, this is You. You said, and in Your Word, You said. Like I mentioned, they're pointing back to Psalm 2. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. What's David writing about in Psalm 2? Well, he's writing about Jesus. And through the Spirit of God, he saw through the ages that Messiah was going to come and he was going to be rejected by the rulers. And he says in verse 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And God determined before the foundation of the world that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be slain. God determined that he would be denied. God determined that he would be rejected. God determined that he would be spit upon. God determined that the beard would be ripped from his face. God determined that the nails would be driven in his hands and his feet. God determined that he would be lifted up for the sins of all mankind. And the people in the church were rejoicing when they heard about the gospel being preached and the persecution that came. They praised God and they rejoiced in his power, in his creation, for the glory of his word and for the promise of Messiah and the sacrifice that he would make. And they're just rejoicing in creation and in prophecy and the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you that in a few verses, they're just taking a really big trip. All the way through Scripture. I mean, they just ran from Genesis to Psalms to just a few days before when Jesus died and rose again. And they're praising God for what he's done. For what he did when he created. For what he promised he would do hundreds of years before. And what he's already done. And they're rejoicing because all of it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're rejoicing. And by the way, when we pray, we ought to pray with rejoicing. God determined what he would do, and they come to verse 29 and they say, "Now and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." The prayer of the church, the prayer of the church was focused on the glory of God. And the accomplishment of his mission for the church. Their prayer was they were focused on glorifying God. Thou art God. You made everything. You've given us your word. You've given us Christ. They're glorifying God. And then they're focused on the gospel. God, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Their prayer was for protection, and their prayer was for power to proclaim the gospel. They said, "Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, the chief priests and the elders, they're against us. They want to silence us. They've threatened us. They've told us not to preach or speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They're telling us to shut up. They're telling us to be silent. They're telling us to keep Jesus inside the walls of the church. Don't be bringing Jesus out there in the public arena. Don't bring Jesus outside the church. They want us to keep Jesus here. And Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, look at them. Look at how they're threatening us today. Lord, give us protection and give us power to proclaim the gospel." And I've got news for you today. I mentioned it this morning, but we live in a society today that they can stomach us keeping Jesus inside here, but they don't want Jesus out there. And we ought to pray to God, "Behold their threatenings, God. Don't allow them to win, God. Don't allow them to silence us, God. Protect us and give us the opportunity to proclaim the gospel." And we need to be busy using the liberty that we have today to proclaim the gospel here and now. While it's legal. It's not legal everywhere, right? And when it becomes illegal, we ought to pray for protection and power to proclaim the gospel anyway. Lord, give us boldness. Lord, give us boldness. Sometimes you read about the men in Scripture and it's easy to think that they just naturally had boldness. You ever known anybody that just naturally, I mean, they just could talk to anybody, they could go up to anybody, they could talk to them. They didn't really bother them. And other people, they're more like introverted. I know a lot of people today, They're pretty good with a one-on-one conversation, but you put them in a group of people and they don't like that. They kind of shut down. Anybody ever feel like that? Are some of you guys like that? It's okay. And some of you are like, "I don't care. I'll talk to anybody anywhere else. I'll give me one person, give me 50, give me 100. It's fine." You know, God made us all different. But the reality is it's not natural. It's not in our carnal condition to proclaim the gospel. It's not something that we're naturally inclined to do. It's not something your flesh wants to do, to be frank. That's why we need to pray for the boldness of God. We need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. And listen to me, even if you could, a lot of you know me a long time, and I've never had trouble talking to people. I've never had trouble talking to people. I never met strangers. I could always talk to people. It's fine. I have that natural inclination. That's the way God made me, and that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, if I go proclaiming the gospel just with my natural ability, it will not succeed the way it would if I was filled with the Spirit of God. I don't want to go just because God, some people might say, well, she's got the gift of gab, or he's got the gift of gab, or whatever. You don't want to go with your natural inclinations, with your natural abilities. Don't get me wrong. The gospel has power no matter what we do with it, but we want to go in the power of the Spirit of God. We want to go with boldness. And when you've got a society that's becoming hostile against the gospel, you're going to need some boldness. When you go out there and not everybody's going to say, oh, thank you so much for coming from your church with your gospel tracts. We really appreciate it. Not everybody's going to respond like that. And you're going to need some boldness. Ought to be some people in the church today who care enough about the glory of God and enough about the souls of men that will ask God for boldness to go and speak the Word of God. It could be on a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock and we come together and we pray and we go door to door. Or it could just be when you wake up in the morning and you know you're going to school or to work or to the grocery store. But you get up and you ask God to give you boldness to speak the Word of God. In verse 30, they pray further by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now we understand that the miraculous spiritual gifts were to the early church for a certain amount of time, for a certain purpose. That God gave them the miraculous ability to heal, that people would line the streets just so that the shadow of Peter would pass over them and they would be healed. These miraculous abilities were given for a certain period of time, for a certain purpose, and that purpose was that the people would believe their message. They weren't praying for God to give them the ability to do signs and wonders so that they could look good, or so that people would flock to them, so that they could have a big fan base, so that they get lots of likes on Instagram. That's not what they were after. They wanted to be able to do those signs and wonders and miracles so that people would believe their message. But when the scriptures were completed, those miraculous signs were done away. But I want to tell you something. Though God may not give men the ability to miraculously heal and do signs and wonders today, and just as a side note, if somebody watching this tonight believes that exists today, then I would encourage you to just go right over to the hospital and do some healing, because people need it. Man, that stuff makes me so mad. God may not give men the ability to do those kind of miracles by their own hands today. But don't make the mistake of believing that God doesn't do miracles today. He may not do miracles through the hands of men, but that does not mean that God doesn't perform miraculous acts today, because he does. God does miraculous things. There's a scan, and it shows a mass, it shows cancer. And God's people begin to pray, and they go back and do the scan again, and it's gone. Amen. Listen, God does that. Amen. And there's an accident, and the doctors say they're never going to walk again. And the people of God begin to pray, and that person gets up and walks out of the hospital. Don't tell me that God doesn't do miracles today, because he does. Amen. And there's nothing more amazing in this world today that a sinner who is dead in his trespasses and sins, and when he cries out to God with faith in Jesus, God saves him and he gives him everlasting life. And friends, you can tell me that's not a miracle, but I don't care what you say, that's miraculous to me. Amen. He makes the dead alive. Amen. He makes the condemned man just and free. Amen. And he does that, and it's miraculous and it's glorious. I just want to tell you today that he may not do it through the hands of men, but God is still doing miracles today. And they prayed for that to happen. And I don't think there's any greater miracle than a changed life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who was lost in their sins and dead in their trespasses and sins, and they hear the gospel and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and their life is transformed by the gospel. That's evidence that we can point to. That's fruit of the Spirit of God to the glory of God. And we ought to pray for that today. We ought to pray for that. God, do things that only you can do. We don't need them to be done by our hands. I don't want them to be done by our hands. I want God to get all the glory. I want the name of Jesus to be magnified. And verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. When the church got together with one accord, and they lifted up their voice to praise God together, and they asked God for protection and for power, God poured out his Spirit, and they all spake the word of God with boldness. Did you notice that it says they were all filled and spake the word of God? All. I've been dreaming. My whole ministry. Being a part of a church that was in one accord. I've been dreaming my whole ministry about a moment where everyone in the church was with one heart and one accord and one mind. I've only seen something like that one time. Or two times in my life. And the reality is, it ought to be so every time we come together. That we have one mind and one heart and one accord. And it's not that some people are thinking about what's for supper after services, and some people aren't thinking about the game that they're missing right now, and some people aren't thinking about the trouble they've got at work tomorrow, and some people aren't thinking about that boy or that girl or that thing, that they're all focused on one thing. We're all in one accord, concerned and passionate and sold out for the glory of God. I don't know why God made it to be such a fragile thing. But he did. He did. It's fragile. You know why? Because any one of you could break it. I can break it. You could break it. And I just wonder tonight, if we could experience a moment where we could be in one accord. I wonder tonight if we could experience a moment where with one heart and one accord we lift up our voice to God for his glory. And we pray for his protection. We pray for his power for the gospel's sake. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I'm going to ask you to stand together. And I pray that the familiarity of an invitation doesn't destroy what God might be doing in your heart tonight. That this isn't a moment of going through the motions, and that right now it's not zipping up your Bible case and gathering up your stuff, but right now, in your heart, in your mind, you're focused on the glory of God. that right now in your heart, in your mind, you're focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That tonight, more than anything else in the world, you want Jesus to be magnified. More than anything else in the world, right now, you want the gospel to go forth. That you would pray in your heart, God, give us protection. God, give us power that we can go and speak your word with boldness. Lord, we're afraid. We're afraid of people and we're afraid of messing up. And Lord, we're fearful, but give us strength. Lord, we're distracted, but help us to have laser focus on Jesus tonight. Lord, we're tired, but give us strength tonight. I just wonder if we could have a moment where we might be in one accord tonight. And I just want to challenge you, everyone that's here, everyone that's watching at home, that right now you will seek God's face. You might want to come right down here and get on your knees before God. You might want to kneel down at home at your couch. I don't know. But right now in this moment, we would pray for God to get glory. And we would pray for the gospel to move forward from this place. That we could be a church that's moving towards multiplication. You'll pray that God will do a work like we've never seen before in the missions conference next week. And that we won't wait to be revived then. But God would begin that work right now. You have that desire? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Let's be in one accord right now as we sing and as we pray.